I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
No, just, yeah, we will. Yeah. Okay, go on, introduce
the,
this.
No,
no, because
questions?
I just wanted to talk.
Okay.
You know, the horror, look.
The horror of
just
what?
Hang on a second. Hello, everyone, right? Just, you know, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 cameras running. There's 1, 2, 3 lights. And there's those red lights, right? I'm happy to set them up. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy. But the thing is, while I'm setting them up, you will start firing questions at me. And then
no.
It stops my flow. And that, no, I said to you, can you just... I said to you, will you hold off with those questions, whatever they are, write them down, and then you can start, you know... And you took umbrage with that.
Yeah, because, you know, you tell a grown-up person to write down the question.
Yeah.
Are we in a primary school?
Hannah, this is potentially your new job, Hannah. Do you want to take it seriously?
And I said I'd be here at 3, and you're supposed to have everything set up.
We're number 23 on the Spotify charts.
19,
okay.
You were supposed to have it set up
and also,
already.
And also,
I'm coming in and he's cleaning Ruby's shit box. Always the same.
Meow.
Hey, oh, but also my girlfriend got me a hot chocolate maker and that upset you.
A girlfriend who is hiding somewhere, never go out with her, never introduce her anywhere.
And because she's shy.
She's pretending that she's his PA.
Hey, Dave, it's funny. Both our girlfriends can't tell their parents that we're going out with them.
How come you're...
Oh, I can't say.
How's your mood? Are you very moody again?
By the way, if you were on a date with someone and they said to you, are you okay? It's like fucking the worst question you can ask a human being. Are you in a good... Okay.
No, the worst one is like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, what's wrong with you? Right, up until the point... Can you not tell your girl? Can your girlfriend not tell her parents that you're going
her
out
father,
with
her father? Her father.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Well, can we say... We can't say much about that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't know if I should even... That'd be fine.
They don't know what we do.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I find it... Look, so when I'm trying to set up and frame and it requires real concentration and focus, right? And then you are going... Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And
I'm saying, have a suggestion.
No, it's just easy.
Why can't you do it before we arrive? You'll be in solitude. You'll be there in silence, in your own head.
That lemonade is intense, man.
I thought it was a hot chocolate.
Okay, now listen.
I thought your girlfriend gave you a present.
Anyway, what I'm saying is even if I... Well, you still have to frame up. And framing up and lighting. Okay, look.
That's no...
No, it's not. Now, all the questions that you're, you know, bombarding me with while I'm getting everything, where are they now? Total silence.
I didn't write them down.
Yeah, come on.
Because this is, like, condescending. This is just like looking down at person, suggesting that that person is not capable of anything. Okay, let's stop.
Oh yeah, introduce this. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to And That's Why We're Not Together, starring David Mack Savage and Hannah Andrews.
Thank you. Welcome, my princes Jack and Daniel. Someday this kingdom will be yours. Young Prince Jack, young Prince Daniel, young valiant men, innocent, lovers of people.
Universe.
Normal, well-adjusted men, the future of Ireland. Manly men. Men who enjoy walking in the forest.
Okay.
Men who enjoy waking up and having a plan, a sense of purpose. Men who are goal-oriented. Young men who like to prepare.
Are you drawing a dreamt picture of yourself? Anything you done?
So I was in... Okay, here we go. You ready, guys? Please tune into this. Everyone, please listen. Right.
Mm.
I go to Lennox Grocers. I like Lennox Grocers. I like Claire. I actually said that Claire runs... Do you know Claire who runs Lennox Grocers?
Yeah, I met her.
And she's got lovely eyebrows. You know I'm always a big fan of eyebrows. I've always gone on about
that. Are my eyebrows nice?
Yeah, but they're nice.
They're not perfect?
Well, some...
What's wrong
some
with my
people
eyebrows?
Have dramatic... I'm just saying,
I thought you don't like dramatic eyebrows.
Jack, are you even paying attention to this? It makes me very disappointed if I look over and somebody isn't even tuning into this.
Well, David, you know, you got to work on your own concentration skills. You know, you're always looking for external...
Validation.
What I'm saying, if I'm talking about eyebrows and I look over and Jack's like this, look.
Well, I'll tell you something, David. I'll tell you something, Father. Eyebrows aren't exactly my favorite topic of discussion.
Daniel, do you like eyebrows on a woman?
Yes, I like
but
like
not
eyebrows.
Like antennas.
I prefer when they shave it off, you know.
Oh,
shave
Christ.
Off the eyebrows.
I think that was a trend.
Wait
that
a second.
You
yeah, but
bleach
but
your
antenna,
eyebrows.
Okay, listen.
And that it was really cool.
For God's sake, I actually said though I found myself because me and Claire are quite friendly, and she is. She seems to be.
How old is she?
Fucking hell! Can I just talk, please, Hannah? Just please let me in. And I said to her, "Your eyebrows should have their own lonely fans. Lonely fans. They should. Your eyebrows should have their only fans page."
Creepy.
Yeah, it is a bit, and I came out of my mouth, and I'm thinking, oh Jesus, that's slightly over the thing. But she, thank God, she laughed. She did laugh.
Hysterically.
She did well. I guess it is a nice compliment. I guess if she likes me enough to be able to take that compliment. Anyway, she's got very fucking nice eyebrows. Is all I'm trying to say. That's not even the point.
This is what you said. You said you got nice tit eyebrows.
That would be more likely. So, what's I've the never story talked. She about said,
I'm a big
eyebrows.
Fan.
So, what's your favorite eyebrows? Because there's, you know, are they strong? Are they pointy?
I'm a very visual person. Let me tell you something about, if you want to get into it, and you see, it's like talking about a selvedge denim. There's only a very few of us that give a shit and care and have passion and are aficionados. Let me tell you about the eyebrow. If you look at a bow and arrow, a bow... Right,
David.
So,
eyebrows are very, very popular.
Bow,
so you're not the only one.
A bow, and it has an arch, and it has a tension and a drama to it, and it so. But it also has a beautiful symmetry, right? Symmetry, and some people one is slightly. Oh, listen, there's no point talking if you're going
to
be like that.
To sleep.
No, you're putting yourself to sleep. I know what I'm talking about. I love it. And I need to be... Do you know what it's like? I'm playing jazz and you were playing... I don't know what you're not playing jazz. I'm going like... And you're like... Brum, bum, bum, brum, bum, bum, brum. You're playing...
I'm very earthy.
Polski. And I'm going...
You wish.
We are not communicating. Anyway, what are you talking about? You love eyebrows.
Of course I do, but like I don't know.
Hannah,
what.
It's not good for me to be trying to put you down in any way, shape, or form. It makes me sick.
But
I don't want to do it, and I really apologize.
Is it the influence of your girlfriend?
You look.
I think this
forget
is
about
influence.
My girlfriend. Stop talking about her, Hannah.
You've changed.
Oh Christ!
Bring
here
the
we go.
Old David back without that sort of.
Okay, I need to calm down.
Premenstrual behavior.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Premenstrual.
Yeah.
Premenstrual.
Yes.
Oh Christ, Hannah. Jesus, Hannah.
You're just behaving like someone who has.
Are you calling David a minstrel?
Okay, guys. So look. Jesus Christ.
So, David, what type of eyebrows are you fit? Do you like the pencil eyebrows?
I don't want to talk.
Or the bushy eyebrows? Look, let's
move on. Let's move on.
What about a Frida Kahlo?
Let's move on. Jesus Christ. Taste some of that. That's that lemonade.
That lemonade in the bottle is rubbish. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just like, it's lemon juice. You know?
Jesus,
with a bit of sugar.
It's like from all sides. He's copying you now. Like he's attacking me.
I'm not attacking you.
David,
I'm saying.
I think you've changed.
Oh, Christ.
You can't.
Daniel,
really
would you,
is
there any voice of reason?
Everything we say, you take it as an attack. But truly, you're attacking everyone else.
You're like a libtard.
You know, you're so moody. You're so non-accepting.
Oh God, you're all spiritual now.
No, I'm not. I'm over spirituality.
Please, Daniel.
And that's why we're not together.
Wait, okay. You were telling the story and you didn't even get to the point.
I know, but it's unbelievable.
Because you were
these
talking
two.
About bow and arrow.
Okay,
and
forget about the bow and arrow. Anyway, look, I was in the fucking.
It sounded like an Irish Times article, to be honest.
Yeah, or like.
Oh, that's really. That's you see? That's
or some you know, Irish poetry.
So, look, what's the date today? Saturday the 20th. Who's hitting the microphones? Don't hit the microphones. Okay, look, I'm in the bloody shop. And this guy comes in and says, it's your Happy New Year, yeah? It's Saturday the 20th of fucking January. And this dude sort of marches in and he thinks it's all a bit sort of, you know, Happy New Year. Mate. It's way, 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 way too late.
Yeah, it's not acceptable.
It's too late. And I guess the logic in his mind is like, you know, I'll throw it, you know. It's like arriving to the funeral 2 weeks after. There's a couple of flowers. Listen, sure, I couldn't make it, but sure, I'm here now. Sure, I'm a bit unconventional. I'm a bit sort of edgy. No, you're not. You've got nothing to say, you collapsed personality, you little bastard. It's fucking 25 weeks after New Year's. Happy New Year. Piss off. Happy New Year. Which year? 2024, 2023? Happy birthday, fucker.
And then after this guy, David comes in and says, I think your eyebrows should have their own OnlyFans. So who's, you know, make up your mind.
Well, that's interesting. I think eyebrows, would people pay? Would I be willing to pay? No. I wouldn't be willing to pay to see a woman's eyebrows. Although if I was...
There are a lot of fetishes and eyebrows are definitely
although
one
if
of them.
If you had couldn't see a woman for months and months and months, like let's say a year, by Jesus, you know, if you could even see a fucking eyebrow. That's why like, you know, like if women are covered up all the time, so if you see an ankle, you'd be like, Jesus, look at the fucking ankle on her. Look at the ankle. Do you see that on an ankle? Hannah, you're annoying me.
Well, you know.
Well, just about that subject, I was talking to grandfather, and you know, he was telling me about.
Oh, you were down in Athlone with granddad and granny.
So he's telling me about you know, courting my grandmother. Not really, but you know, just kind of saying how, you know, back in his day, like you could never move in with a woman without marrying her, you know, and like how much that's changed, you know, like the whole. You know, like you'd have to go on long dates for like 8 months or a year, you know, just walking in the park or something, you know, bringing her for a coffee, bringing her for a drink. But nowadays it's just like you go on Tinder.
It's instant.
You go on Tinder and, you know, you just go for a few drinks and then.
What?
Then you have
you
sex.
Know, like nowadays, the modern people.
Nowadays.
You know yourself, David.
And that's why we have to go back and date and let the men
shock,
hunt.
Horror.
Yeah, but absolutely. I think you should not have sex in the first, second, third. You should wait for a few months.
Yes.
That's
my next strategy for successful.
My advice to
a few
young,
months.
My advice to young people.
A few months.
Jesus. You should wait for a few months.
Oh my god.
I think we should wait for a marriage. You know.
Yeah, that would be even better.
Just a week or something. Wait a week.
Yeah, a week.
And in the same way,
a few hours. Like.
But it's good to get to know
what's that,
someone.
What's the bumping microphone sound?
Just a great, you know, suck the energy out there.
I just need some water. David, you have to actually smile. And
oh my god,
your muscles,
that's like the worst thing
you're
ever.
Because you're really grumpy.
Yeah, because
it's just the same as, you know, write a list of questions.
Yeah,
guys, if you think David's grumpy, like and subscribe.
Okay, very good. So, Last One Laughing came out, okay? And first of all, I would like to say that I took it very seriously. And I went, as you know, what did I do before the show?
Oh, you went to a hypnotherapist because you wanted to carve out this sort of technique that you will for never laugh. And also you would develop animosity towards other comedians.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And that would make you not, whatever they say, it wouldn't be funny because you wouldn't like them.
That's right. If you don't like someone, you know, because likability is a huge thing in comedy. You ever see some comedians and they're hugely successful, but objectively, yeah, they're not that funny. But what they have is a huge likability. Okay, what's that guy from Liverpool? Actually, he is a very nice man. Actually,
John Bishop,
and he's a very good comedian, right? But he's just got that thing. It's almost like he fills stadiums, people come to support him like a football match.
I think it's his smile and his teeth.
But actually, he is a nice bloke. And he came to see me in, I did a show in Galway, and then he came the next day and I was playing in the fucking King's Head and John Bishop shows up with Deirdre O'Kane. And it was such a bad show. And it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Because he'd seen me the night before and I was really good. And he's probably thinking, oh, yeah, maybe this guy. And then after the show, you could just see him kind of going.
But, you know, maybe he came for inspiration.
Well, okay, so likability. So I went to a hypnotist. I went twice. It cost 80 euro each time. Amazon Prime paid for it. Jeff Bezos, thank you. And he said things to me. Right, David, now when you're in the room with the other comedians and they start talking and you feel that laughter, just project a version of yourself outside 10 meters away and that person can laugh. But over here, there is no movement, there's no laughter. And imagine also when they're talking, they are just things making noises. They are just things making noises. And you don't like them. And there was all these kind of affirmations and, you know, da 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 da. And so I went twice. So, but I really do think it worked because there was nobody really in there. The only person who kind of came close, Deirdre Kane came close to make me laugh, and Jason Byrne. And Jason Byrne is an interesting comedically because, you know, the way when comedians do, you know, they have a setup, they tell you a story and then they have a punchline. With Jason, it's just direct. There's no intermediary, there's no thought, you know, you don't have to think about it. It's just instantaneous. Like he was doing this thing where he was pretending to be the weather saying things. So the weather was saying, you know, I like sausages or something. And it's so silly. And you could just feel, anyway, he was the closest. And Deirdre as well, it kind of was making, because Deirdre kind of portrays this kind of, you know, normal, you know, kind of woman. But she behind it, she's quite mental, which is very funny. Anyway, so she'd be just giving me these looks. And what was I talking about? So I went in there and I was hypnotized. Okay, I took the game too seriously. It's been very badly critiqued. It's had a lot of bad reviews. You know,
is it?
Yeah, for the Last One Laughing Ireland, like, you know. the Irish Independent, somebody said it's a streaming load of turd or something, or it's a place where comedy goes to die and whatever. And I'd say there's a lot of schadenfreude or other comedians going, yeah, whatever. But here's the thing that people don't realize. This is a global fucking show. It's Amazon Prime, so it goes to every country in Europe.
Poland as well.
Poland, Italy, right. So Sweden. So it's going everywhere. So some little guy writing something about it in Ireland, it's a drop in the fucking ocean. And also Amazon Prime, they've got millions. I mean, they have promoted this in the States, everywhere. Mm. So they've put so much money behind it that they've created a situation where people feel like they're missing a cultural event if they don't tune into this last one laughing show. And also, someone made a very good point. Being critical of a last one laughing, it's like being critical of a fucking Christmas cracker. You know, it's not an intellectual thing.
Yes.
It's a premise, right? You go into a room, other comedians who professionally make people laugh, and you have to not laugh. But sorry. Number one, you have to not laugh. But number two, you have to actively try and make people laugh. But the problem is when you actively are trying to make people laugh, you can start to laugh yourself. So I missed out on that one. I was good at the not laughing thing, but the trying to make other people laugh, I forgot about. So ultimately, for 10 hours...
That's your job.
You were just swanning around.
I was just walking around, like, eating fucking Toasties. I think I was also heavily hypnotized. And because of the hypnotism, I was looking at everybody. I didn't like anyone. That's not true. That hypnotism didn't go that deep. Go on.
How many naps did you take?
Well, it was 10 hours, I sensed that some other comedians didn't. Well, I was absolutely sure that some other comedians didn't like me, and I was surprised how affected I was by that. Because when you're doing a show and you can see somebody looking at you, you know, while you're doing a show, and they're just like that, it's very, very off-putting.
But don't you think that they were just trying not to
laugh?
No.
Because I've known this particular comedian before, and they really have a bristling hatred, or hatred maybe too. But the problem is when someone doesn't like you that much, and because of my low self-esteem or whatever, I sort of project intelligence behind it or this great ideology behind it. But nothing of the sort. No, just mean spiritedness or lack of life experience or child whatever. Okay. And then there was Paul Tylak. I kind of got quite angry with Paul. Nice guy, great actor, was in The Savage Eye, but he was doing these jokes, and they just wouldn't have made you laugh anyway. So there was no, because I'm thinking we're fucked, because like I'm never going to laugh at that, and if he thinks that's funny, he's never going to laugh at. So we're absolutely in a stalemate here. So by the end of it, it was me, Paul Tylak, Martin Angolo, Deirdre O'Kane.
Maybe you shouldn't say. Are you?
No, all the fucking episodes are out.
Oh, all of them already. Okay, at the same time? Are they not going?
I mean, I haven't watched it, but...
but all the episodes are out,
I'm pretty
right?
sure, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was a weekly thing. Sorry, I didn't.
Maybe. I'll double check. Yeah. But go on.
And so they basically kicked me, Martin, and Paul off the show. And it was because we were just in a deadlock. We weren't doing anything. We were just wandering around. Like dead fish, just floating on the surface, bouncing over just nothing. And they were thinking, you know, you can imagine Amazon Prime, millions being spent, and they're looking at this. This is awful. So they kicked us out, and it was down to
just
Deirdre.
Describe how that works for people, because people don't work in the television industry, and they must think like when someone watches a TV show like that, they just think like it's actually following the. You know, it's like it's all natural. So. It's all, you know, there's nothing convoluted about it. But how does that work?
How does what work?
Where do they invite you into the office, like the three of you? Like, how do they choose you three instead of Deirdre O'Kane, Jason Byrne?
Oh, because Deirdre was just she was kind of she was funnier. You know, she was trying to. I think she was actively trying to make people laugh, so was Jason.
Yeah.
Whereas, and you didn't. Martin, Martin Angolo, and me and Paul Tylek. I think we were like dead fish by the end of it. That's what I honestly think. Now I like Martin, I like Paul, and it's a game also. But I was, you know, I was surprised by how bad I was. I look back on that thing and I think, I should have been going fucking mental or whatever. But then I looked at the bridge and it's burned.
That's your thing, you know, burning bridges, you know.
Okay.
But I looked at Jason.
I don't know what you're burning. I looked at Jason. And I thought, my God, this guy is working his ass off. He's leaping around the place, jumping around the place, and he was doing some great work. I think, to me, it felt like, oh, this guy's he's like head and shoulders above me. And in that context,
it just sounds like to me you focused too much on not laughing, and then
that's right.
You forgot your job, which is the comedian's main job, which is to make people laugh. So it's just,
yeah, but I thought I could coast it because if I started trying.
But why did you take it so seriously? I don't understand. Like,
I took it too seriously.
Like I would have thought you going on the show, like if you weren't on the show, you'd be saying it's a fucking load of shite and it's bullshit. I thought you would have gone on the show and just completely taken the piss out of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, that's what we were more likely expecting.
I think you're very competitive, David.
I think taking the piss out of the whole thing. I think also, you know, everyone would have had to have. I didn't know a lot of the other comedians as well. So to really take the piss out of someone, you kind of have to like them. Do you know what I mean? Like, there has to be an underlying fondness. You can't do it in really. You can't.
I think it's much easier to make fun of people you don't like because there's. I get what you're saying because if you're mates with someone, it's much more comfortable to take the piss out of them.
Right.
You know.
Although when Bernard O'Shea showed up, that was apparent. Well, like I forgot that, but somebody reminded me because they brought out various people to make us laugh, which was disastrous. They brought out Jedward. Did you know that, Jack?
Who did he bring out?
Jedward. Did you know that, Jack?
No. I met Jedward one time.
So they bring out fucking Jedward. And it was like a horror show. I mean, it was just like, oh, fuck me.
Did you feel sympathy for them?
No, it's just like...
So you wanted to genuinely win the show, like...
Yeah.
Was there any prize money?
No. But you did.
Oh yeah, I guess so,
but
Daniel.
But not for the money, but for the winning.
I don't know. I took it too seriously.
Oh my God!
But I thought
it was the last
know.
One laughing. But it's not really. It's about having fun.
So you just
fun.
took it literally, like.
Yeah, but it's having. Yeah. I think so.
Oh my God!
David thought it was like the Squid Games. Yeah. If you laugh, you get killed.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I kind of did take Christ. It too seriously, so I got fucking hypnotized. Anyway, I lost the fucking plot.
No, you just didn't understand the rules, truly. Because it's not about just not laughing.
Yeah, it's about making other people laugh.
I did. And you don't need to know anyone to create comedic situations.
And also I was doing things. I had a few things.
How's the makeup going?
I put makeup on. I had a few things prepared.
And did you do it well?
No, but listen, Hannah, if you just listen to me, I had a few things prepared, but I'd never tried these things out before. Like, as a stand-up comedian, you're on stage, you're saying stuff that you've said for years and years. It's tried and tested on many different audiences, and you know it's going to work. I'm doing stuff like doing a makeup tutorial. They probably won't. They didn't show it. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing.
Didn't show it?
No, I don't think so. Then I was doing this other thing of living in a wee wheelie bin. In a wheelie bin. And I don't think they show that either because it was so shit. Right. And then I think I was putting fucking cornflakes in my pockets. I don't know if they put that on. So, exactly. But I've never tried these things out. So they're not, and then you lose confidence. And then I look at that person I'm talking about who fucking hates me. And it's like, you know, what's the opposite of a comedy erection? The comedy...
Dysfunction.
Yeah.
Comedic erectile dysfunction.
And then there's all these other comedians. And a lot of them... were flaccid. really bad at doing rubbish.
So they, you're not
they,
the
they,
only
they had your one Amy Huberman. She had a fake pair of tits, and it was just like you're just looking at her with she just has tits. And I don't know, Amy Huberman, it's kind of like, go on, Amy, aren't you great now with your fake tits? She really, she's just gas. She's a nice lady and all the rest of it. But I'm looking at...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Her. And I don't know what to do. I'm just looking at her and just thinking, oh, she's married to Brian O'Driscoll. I better not take the piss out of her because he almost tried to kill himself winning a game for Ireland, you know, throwing himself against All Blacks and Kiwis. And you know what I mean? So she's kind of, what's the word? She's got immunity because of her association.
She's
a protected species. you know, and then, so Deirdre was great. The thing was great. I like Martin. Oh, Martin was dead as well. Like, I couldn't, because there was no getting Martin going. I asked Martin to come on. He'll come on to another podcast. But I couldn't make him laugh, the bastard, and he couldn't make me laugh. So we were, me, Paul, and Martin, we were just like a deadlock. Aisling B. She kind of felt like, you know, she kind of behaved like it was her birthday party, and, you know, and she was really good mates with, what's his name? The guy that was running it.
Graham Norton,
you know. So she's kind of more established in that scene, you know.
Did she feel kind of superior?
I don't know. But she just felt very comfortable. And she was...
did she make anyone laugh?
Yeah, she's funny, Aisling, and she was jumping around the place. She's good. And who else was there? A Deirdre thing. Who else? Oh, you don't know.
So if the show was called, like, make people laugh and don't laugh at the same time.
Yeah. I would have got it.
You would have got it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
they
right.
They didn't explain it.
No,
to
they
you.
Did. No, they did. It's just. It's like I think like a lot of people. You know. Yes, I understand those words. Yes, but unless you've lived it, you don't really fully understand. It's like when somebody says you're an alcoholic and you try to explain to people. You're like, oh yeah. But if you're not an alcoholic, you have no idea what you're talking about. So last one laughing, you'd have to live that experience. But it was kind of funny because, you know. Like you were saying, I have burnt a lot of bridges and I normally wouldn't hang around with that many comedians. And so it was kind of, well, I'm friendly with some of them and not with others. And
but it's okay.
I know, absolutely it's okay.
Make me a hint.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But it was kind of an interesting experience. It was like I met myself on that show. I figured a lot of stuff out.
It's like an outer body experience, yeah?
Yeah,
it was exactly what the hypnotist did to you. You were 10 meters away from yourself, laughing, and then the one who was
around... Oh, Tony Cantwell was on it.
Oh, yeah.
So Tony Cantwell had some very funny set pieces. He was doing this thing on the stage where he was pretending to be a cat and doing he was pretending to be all sexy, and that was quite funny. So that he was good. But I find his voice. He's got a very low voice, Tony, and I find that quite triggering.
Yeah, because it's lower than yours. Or?
Well, you know, because I know some people. You know, their seduction technique is to stand next to women and sort of vibrate themselves into their knickers. And it's like, vibrate the fuck off, Tony, will you? With your fucking you know, piss off with your big balls. But okay. He's a funny guy, nice guy.
Big guy?
No, an average size guy.
Okay. So is he like chasing women? Is that his?
I don't know. Every man is chasing women if they're normal. And if they're not, so. Sorry, we have to cut that out. Why every man is chasing women if they're normal? Oh, because you'd have to say because every man. Men are chasing men as well, if they're also normal gay men.
No, don't go. Like,
no, it's fine. Come on.
It's a shame you have to cut that, isn't it?
Yeah. David, I got you Food Ground Daily Multinutrients 45 Plus.
Multinutrient.
Oh, it was a fanook.
While the mushrooms.
Do I take one of it?
Two. Maybe this is going to help you with memory and understanding, you know. Explanations.
But I think they miss a trick. I think if I was producing Last One Laughing, I mean, I think they like to create the image, the idea that when all the individual comedians are walking in at the start, everybody's surprised. It's like, oh, look, it's him. Oh, it's her. It's him. What I think they should do is have a little boot camp beforehand. I think we should all meet 2 or 3 days, get to know each other a little bit. Get to like each other a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Maybe bond a little bit. No, you don't think so.
I'm not sure, but like,
well, I'm not sure either.
Why would you bond if you want to make someone laugh?
Because then there's a dynamic and there's a thing and there's, you know, we'll iron out any differences so that when we go on the show and we start filming. People will like each other. We'll have a little bit of a relationship.
No, I think you're dead right because it is a performance, isn't it? Though it's a game show, the intention, it doesn't really matter who wins. It matters if it's entertaining.
So if you're on the show and you think that person hates you, I don't really know her. Da da da. Hannah, just let me finish my train.
Yeah, I'm not
finish my train. You have bombed the train before it's left the station.
I don't think so. I wasn't interrupting you.
But I think just let me finish that thought, right? I think if you want the thing to be, you know, a really humming, vibrating kind of, you know, exciting thing, if everyone knew each other a little bit better, if they had a better relationship, I think it might work better.
Yeah, I mean, that you're talking about, like, if there's more chemistry between the comedians.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends, like...
Well, I think if they spent a few days with you, they'd probably hate you more, so...
No, but... I think... Because it takes away the contestant side of things.
Yeah, go on.
If you're just in a boot camp, like, planning with the other comedians, like,
you know what?
Then it's more of a, like...
Go on. Sorry, Daniel, Jack.
Then it's more of, like, a... I don't know, just like a show rather than a competition.
Well, Daniel, hang on a second. What I'm saying is that we wouldn't have to talk about the show. What I mean is just a bond. You know the way companies go off on a weekend and they have these bonding things.
Yeah, I know.
Things.
So like
shared experiences.
Yeah, so if you're
what I'm trying to say,
if you're with them and then you have this connection with them or the chemistry or you get to know them a bit, so you know what you're allowed to say to them and all this kind of stuff.
Huh?
Like you know what you're allowed to, you know what you can joke about with these with the other comedians or.
Oh, wasn't it supposed to be like a surprise thing that you didn't know who was on the show?
Yeah, we didn't know who was on the show.
So how could you go on a boot camp if
so you can still pretend you don't know? Oh fuck! Hey, how you doing?
Was there any deceit involved? You know, or was it just purely you got to make people laugh? Was there any other thing involved? You know, like any other like
they brought out Jedward, they brought out Dustin the Turkey and what's your man's name?
Ray Darcy.
But you know, people could make alliances, stuff like that. You know.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
like it could be more kind of where
I think Deirdre and Jason tried to, you know, gang up on people. Mm. Also, they brought out Anne Doyle,
the newsreader.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I cooked her dinner in the United Arts Club.
Very nice. And also, they brought out who's the guy, Lady in Red?
Oh, Bruce. Chris de
Burgh. He came out of a cupboard singing Lady in Red.
And he's so small.
Did he have his big bushy eyebrows?
Yeah, yeah. Lady in Red. So, you know.
I met him as well. And I said, I met him before he went on Late Late Show. And then I said this story that I used to have a boyfriend who had an amazing voice. And we were walking on the beach. And this boyfriend of mine was singing to me Lady in Red. And he was really touched about it. Story. I know it's not exciting, but nice.
No, it's a very nice story.
Very nice story, Hannah.
Don't worry about what father looks at you and says to you.
Yeah, so my wings are getting cut.
Yeah, now you can fly like a bird.
Again.
Fly like a bird. But I want to know though, like how.
Do you not think that would work? You know, if you met, if the whole cast met. And had a bonding thing, and that's that there was more chemistry there. And
yeah,
there wasn't
I think they should definitely do. I find it surprising that they didn't.
Daniel doesn't think so.
Well, I just think it would take away from the
what
premise
like
this, of
the
show,
spontaneity of us. Like,
yeah, but everyone knew
you can be We can be spontaneous with each other. Like we could know. We should do a last one. Actually, we should do last one laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do Last One Laughing now, Hannah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we have the new Amazon Prime Last One Laughing starring Hannah Andrews and David McSavage. But you can't even smile, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's gone. Okay. Then you get a yellow card. Okay. So you have to not laugh, but also try and make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea.
Okay.
How you doing, Hannah? So we're starting
Surprise,
the show now.
Motherfucker.
that's it. You're gone.
Just, I just went.
Oh,
can I do?
yeah, but you're also smiling. Don't smile.
So I just want to say that
you're smiling.
Am I smiling? So I just want to tell
Are you trying to be funny now?
Yeah.
You're trying to make me laugh. So we're in the game. We're in the competition. Mm-hmm. Hannah, are we doing the competition now?
Yeah. I'm trying to make you laugh.
Okay. La 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 la.
Yeah. Hola. Hola la 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 la. You see, that's what you do. You're being more silly than the one who is silly, you know?
Okay, that's a yellow card. Okay, go on, stupid.
You make me laugh first. You're going first on stage. You know, like...
What are you talking about?
You know, like, okay, we have
okay,
last
go on,
one
go on,
laughing,
go on, go on.
Know?
So now, because so one, the next... If I laugh, then I'm over. Go on. What were you going to say the story?
No, that wouldn't be a good story to make you laugh.
Smiling.
I'm keeping my corners straight. They're not drooping. Okay, is that okay?
So, yes. I bought some new pants.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for my gym.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Gym, and I like squatting, and I make that sound. Like that.
Not funny.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I go to my gym.
Wow, you really must have been shit on that show.
Well, I'm laughing at the jokes.
Yeah, I'm still laughing. I don't know what the fuck. Okay, come on. But anyway, that's it. That's it. So you're in a room for 10 hours or whatever, and you're, they edit it together. But what I'm trying to say is, if you know each other, like you're more likely to do outrageous things.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't, so I didn't know Amy or thing or Tony or whatever. I didn't know them, so you're just a bit more reserved. I think it is a good point, Jack or Daniel. That if you do know the people and you bond with them a little better, that you're more likely to be outrageous and try weird shit because you're friendly with them. No? Not sure?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But like, I get that.
Yeah, but like, you know, like they want a true surprise that you don't know who
but,
is
but,
there.
But I mean, the payoff of the surprise is much less than the payoff of actually having chemistry because it's just the surprise is the first episode and
right.
For 2 seconds it is done.
And also...
It's not a big part of the show. The essence of the show is the chemistry between the players
and also right you can fake the surprise. And also they will they're all other comedians from that country, so everybody knows or is aware of each other. So it's not like they don't know of each other. But so you can just be you can be like,
oh
shit,
know.
Jason! Oh my god, how you know? It's great to see you. Blah blah. You know, pretend you just, it's just why can't you do that?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Anyway, go watch Last One Laughing on Amazon Prime. All episodes are out, and David. Features.
Yeah, if Germany, Australia, if you're anywhere, you can watch it, stream it.
Yeah, and do they vote? No, there's no voting for.
They put all six episodes.
Yeah, I think people should, you know, they should make it Last One Laughing, and people should vote and make it more engaging. And would have to stay in the house and then grow to know each other, like Big Brother house or something.
Or what about Hannah's got her.
Oh yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And that's why we're not laughing with Hannah Andrews.
So this is a little bit of an introduction to my stand-up, because the last time when I was doing stand-up, David, before I even started, David said, I can't wait for this
get to the
piece
point,
of exactly. shit. So I was just thinking, I'm gonna do the same thing, but just I'm gonna try a different delivery. So do you know about
Hannah? You can just go to the stand up. Just get to
be
the
quiet, thing. David. Shut up.
Hang on.
You're funny. Go. Say the joke.
Okay, the joke is that about midlife crisis. So midlife crisis is a terrible affliction, and as you can see, it's irreversible. Just look next to me. And I think that's it. It's irreversible and tragic. I'm not going to do it anymore. I actually refuse to do, you know, like I was given a minute to do the stand-up. So you cannot tell me to go to the point.
Yeah.
Because I might not have a point.
Okay.
I might be the comedian. Yeah. Oh, a stand-up.
The pointless. Okay, very good.
Pointless.
Good for you. Good for you, Hannah.
Good
yes,
for me.
Yes.
And, you know, I think this yes. is not even heckling. This is yes. like, you just like assassinated
Assassinate.
Me.
Hey, Hannah, you know,
threw a bomb at me.
When David clips those wings, you know, grow your new wings.
Yes.
You know,
I will
fly higher, and he won't be able to catch you.
Yeah, very good, Daniel Jack. And I like that.
Yeah,
you know, maybe my thing is I don't have a point. Good for you. Well said. Well said. Well done. Well done. There you go. That's Hannah Andrews. And.
Oh my God, you always have to have the last saying. This is just like, never ending. And that's why we're not together.
Okay, go on. Fucking hell. Hannah, you're
together.
Such a melter. Okay, Jack, open the cage.
What do you mean by that?
Open the cage. Nothing trivial.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. That's all you have to do.
Let her run through this time.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage is back. He will be. There's a trailer been released for his new film called Long Legs, where he's playing a serial killer. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out the trailer because it's pretty spooky. It's like a horror thriller. So the story is that FBI agent Lee Harker is assigned to solve a serial killer case, which is Nicolas Cage, that takes an unexpected turn, revealing evidence of the occult. And this agent discovers a personal connection to the killer and must stop him before he strikes again. So he's back at it again. Nicolas Cage,
but it's really good to see the resurgence in his career.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good.
Yeah.
But as I said before, though, in one of the other episodes, that
Hannah's still pissed off because of that.
Just don't interrupt.
No, sorry, Daniel.
No, he's only got like he said he only wants to do three or four films like before he finishes his movie career.
I don't know why they say that. What else are you going to do?
Well, I don't know.
Get over yourself. Can I just say about actors, right? Like, it's, first of all, sorry, Daniel. I like the fact that Nicolas Cage is starting to. What's the one he just did recently where he was bald? It was very good.
Oh, Dream Scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. The very, story very is good.
So, you know, these actors are making these big proclamations, declarations, you know, and there's a. Listen, actor. You know, these Golden Globes. What was it? The latest thing, the Golden Globes, we were talking about it. Like, you know, actors, they're so self-important, right? They're not like athletes. Like, anybody can act. You can, you know, children can act. Old people can act.
You can act.
Very good. like it's not that difficult, right? And number two, you didn't write anything yourself. And you ultimately, you're just really a liar pretending to be feeling something in a situation. You're just an old liar, just a good liar pretending, oh my God, you know, oh, she's really upset. Not upset in the fucking slightest. Not even the slightest bit upset. Just absolutely. You remember when you were a kid in school, where's your homework? My father, you know, and you do an acting performance. That's all it is, right? That's all it fucking is. Like if you
kind of got a point, because if you look at like Tom Hanks, you know, he's always been like in movies like Forrest Gump and stuff like that, and Captain Scott, and he's always like the morally correct character. Yeah. So yeah. Everyone looks at Tom Hanks because he's been in the good movies. That he is a morally correct character,
right?
Oh, I can't stand.
Yeah, but
Tom
I know,
Hanks.
I know why Hannah can't stand him, because he's that cakey little American thing. But because Hannah has this French sensibility,
he also likes islands.
Yeah. Well, also, can I say about actors, or our our pedestalization of them, or we elevate them, and we, because I think it's baked into our DNA that we need alphas in our communities.
Mm.
So we attach this significance to these people, you know, these great saviors, these starring stars, these film stars. But really, they are not great people.
No.
They're not at all. Like, you know, Cillian Murphy. He's this amazing. Listen, in an emergency situation, say that, you know, your house was flooded. Quickly, where's Cillian Murphy? Never going to happen. He wouldn't have a fucking clue what to do. Oh, how's it going? Like, maybe in my Golden Globe. No, he's not going to help. We need a plumber, mate. Fuck off.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice man. The road to hell is paved with nice people. I'm just saying that we should not revere them. Film is dead. Fuck off. You know, and they're all going on about, you know, oh, how struggling they are. Listen, they're all doing very well, and I can't get a job.
But how's Hard Acres going?
Anyway, go on. What were you going to say, Daniel? Oh yeah, that was good.
But Nicolas Cage isn't like that. He's a decent human being.
No, but I'm just saying. Don't be looking up to these fuckers.
Obviously not. Sean Penn, I can't stand
Look up to your local parish priest. He knows what to do.
We just admire them from a distance, like, you know.
It would be funny if people actually looked up to plumbers or like a really good plumbers or a great dentist, like, because there are some really good dentists, and if they were like, you know, paparazzi, you know, Dr. O'Reilly was seen in Black Rock with his new girlfriend and everybody da 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 da. Can I just have a private life? Yeah, but how do you do it? You're just so good. You're brilliant. And meanwhile, actors, you know, they're kind of behind doctor, kind of going,
I'm here.
Fuck off, you actor twat. Onto the stage in the Abbey and do some fucking.
Yeah. When did you realize that dental hygiene was really your profession and your passion?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I my father was a dentist, and it was in the family. It was in my blood. And I care a lot about it, and I just have the right temperament, and I love it, and I love the people I'm working with.
And what's something that would surprise people that is hard about dentistry?
I love, you know, when people come in, I just love, I love his cavities. anyway, okay, thank you, Daniel. Jack,
you're welcome.
Conspiracy Corner.
Today on Conspiracy Corner, I've actually come up with my own conspiracy.
Mm.
It's about a new technique for the world to get rid of the biggest virus, humans. And well, think about it. And so fire ants. Fire ants have just started arriving in Italy this past year. And fire ants are extremely hostile. They're like rodents, you know, where they penetrate everything, causing a lot of damage in Australia. Australia have committed $2 billion to combat the fire ant problem in Australia.
Are they really big?
They're like, they're the size. Yeah, they're like a couple of inches, oh, yeah. big. But that's not the main thing. Well, the size is freaky. But they their sting is like getting shot with a bullet. Like, it's really, really strong. And they can kill people. Yeah, they can actually kill people.
What is it about all those little insects and things in Australia that are particularly...
But they're not from Australia originally. They're from South America. And they've been brought... They're going around the world because of the shipping routes and stuff. Mm. Kind of like the Black Plague.
And Qantas, and they arrived. Yeah.
So they can actually... So in America, they've killed people. There was one old granny, and she was stung 1,625 times.
How could they count that much, Daniel? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, maybe it was an estimation or something. But
let him finish. Let the boy finish.
Imagine, oh, look at her. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, 125. Listen, she's been stung a lot, man. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
I don't think it makes a difference.
And is she still alive?
No, she's dead. Like, 80 people in America have been killed. So my idea, my theory, is that they're going to start spreading throughout the world.
Yes, and we know who does it.
Well, whoa. I think the ants do it. You know, I don't think I'm going to attribute the ants' intelligence to humans. Oh,
so the ants
wipe
out humans, and then ants slowly evolve into a different species.
Yeah, because think about ants. They're so organized.
Yeah.
They're all walking a line. They can carry five times their weight.
Love it.
Right? So what I think they're
like North Korean.
I think they're going to... Okay. Well, I think they're going to start growing like bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're going to like start growing big mounds.
Brains.
Ant mounds.
Yeah,
like Newgrange. And there's going to be all hive minds, and we're just eventually going
that
to be their slaves.
Music's lost its taste. Try another flavor. Ant music. Ant music. Another flavor. Do you know that ant music? Actually, I like that. I like that. I like that conspiracy, because you can see it's. Let's say the way you've definitely evolved from a monkey.
That was so bad. I'm sorry. That's so bad. That's not.
Hey, listen, Anna.
I'm right about hostility.
Evolved from ants, Jack. That would be great. So, like, say, a million years from now, it'd be just
But other brain develops as well. I just think that they are the weapon in some hands. So it's ants who are killing, but the ants are controlled by...
Oh, God, no.
Well, it's like bees. It's like bees. You have the queen bee, right?
And they have a brain.
You know why they're stronger? Is because they don't have, like, the prejudice, the human brain. You're thinking through the human brain. The ant brain doesn't think about personal satisfaction. The ant brain doesn't think about, I'm going to become a doctor. The ant brain doesn't think, I want to make $10 million. All the ant thinks about is, I want to provide for my ant people. They are truly united.
Yeah, they're extraordinary. If you look at those little ant colonies, and they have this, and they have that, and they have that, and everybody's got the role. Okay, can I just say, I like that one. We might explore that further. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Jack, my two princes. Thank you, Hannah. We've learned a lot in this episode. We've learned that, you know, in your life, you will make enemies, and you will do the right thing, do the wrong thing. But eventually, you might be offered an opportunity where you will... all those events will meet you. And that's what happened to me. And last one, laughing. I failed. I could have done way better. But that's life. We can't all be winners, Hannah.
No. Thank you.
So,
you
know.
Wow, it's very nice.
And, you know, but the point is, keep going. Persistence without expectation. Fail and fail again.
Since ladies. When are you preaching all of a sudden, everyone?
Because I'm doing like Dr. Phil, you know, at the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Hannah. Love you, Hannah. A little bit hostile. I can see the tension in your chin.
Take your baby by the hand. Make her do a handstand.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.